and welcome to Flow with the Funk. My name is Michelle, aka Flow, aka your funky celebrant. This is a podcast aimed at anyone and everyone interested in love and ceremony, from the beginning of life to the end of life, and everything in between. Hello and welcome back, everybody. Before I start today's podcast, I would just like to put in place a trigger warning. We will be talking about child loss and funerals and everything that surrounds that area. So please be advised that this could be quite an emotive subject. Today I'm joined by Sharon Weaver, who does specialise in child loss. And I'm just going to pass over to her for her to introduce herself and tell us all about what she does.
Thank you for having me so much, Michelle. It's really lovely to see you today. I'm Sharon Weaver. As you've just said, I try and specialise in funerals for children, from the smallest gestational ages right up to 18. And I fell into this really quite by accident, and it was because no one really wanted to do the children. They might do the odd one or two a year, they might do four or five a year, but then they were coming to me and saying, but can you just I used to work in pathology for quite some time, and the other thing was they didn't have anything really nice to wear, and I was seeing babies that really only had little bits of gauze and whatnot, or they were wrapped in a towel, and I thought, well, what can I do about that? I was lucky that my husband, Dan, he passed away 3 years ago. He facilitated my love of what I do. He earned pretty well, which meant that it didn't matter to me particularly if I was paid or not for a funeral. Now, when I started 8 years ago, there was no finance in place for children under a certain gestation. There were no funerals. And when I was in pathology, there was no funerals. And we used to have a company that used to come and take the remains of the little ones, and they were disposed of humanely. There wasn't a funeral offered per se. And now, of course, thank heavens, that has all changed. And now, you know, funerals are offered. Definitely over the age of 24 weeks, you can have a funeral. If a child's born in a hospital, usually the hospital picks up the tab for the funeral, and you're offered a funeral as from around 16 weeks gestation. So things are moving in the right direction as far as I'm concerned. And I'm so thankful for that.
So do you just work in the area that you live in, or do you travel all over?
No, I cover a fair way, really. I've got my own cuddle cot. And for people that don't know what a cuddle cot is, it's a cold cot that keeps the baby at the right temperature, which cuts down decomposition. It doesn't stop it completely, but it does slow the process down. So what I do is I take my cuddle cot out if it's available. I have already sanitized it. I buy all of those chemicals and everything myself, and have done for the last 8 years, really. I've been doing this. I think I've had my cuddle cot maybe about 4 years now, 3 or 4 years. I take that out, I set it up in the home of the parents. And what that means, Michelle, is that they have bonding time, which is really, really important.
Absolutely.
Set it up before the funeral. If I conduct the funeral, Then I go and collect it after the funeral and then sterilise it all ready to take out again. It means they can take photographs, you know, dress the little one. That's if the little one isn't too fragile. Some babies are really, really fragile, so you have to be careful. And it just means that the parents can hold the baby when they like. Before I had the cuddle cot, it sometimes meant that the parents had to jump in a taxi or in a car to the hospital where their little one was. You know, sometimes with children in tow, you know, to sit with their little one. And sometimes they were doing that 3 and 4 and 5 times a day. So what I do, i.e. setting up that cuddle cot, makes a massive difference. There's no pressure. The mum or the dad or the, you know, any members of the family can pick up the little one, cuddle and bond. And it, of course, that's just so important.
Do you find there's a big call for that?
Yeah, there is a big call for that. Yeah. Some funeral directors have their own cold cot, their own cuddle cot, but they may only have one.
Yeah.
It tends to be the big companies like the co-op that have their own cuddle cot. I last Monday dropped supplies at Warsaw Co-op, which is relatively close to me. It's about a 45-minute run. And I drop off clothes there so that they have the contract. And we can talk a little bit more about the contract if you want to in a while and what that is. But I drop off clothes to any funeral directors that need them. And the same with you, Michelle. If you ever needed clothes for a child, you would just ring me up and say, I have a 17-week little girl. We don't have any clothes because nothing fits. Let's face it. Nothing fits properly. And I would post them out to you direct or to your funeral director of choice where the little one's going to go. I also can get bigger things made. Like a few months ago, we had a 4-year-old and the mum said, she wanted to be a ballerina.
Yeah.
And the day before, I'd taken a dress from a lady that had severe mobility issues. And it was so sparkly, this dress was, full of diamante, and it was shimmery and beautiful. And I'd only taken it the night before. That dress was made into the most beautiful ballerina dress. For that little one's last journey. And then a bridal store in Coventry called Bridal Reloved, they donated a tiara. And this is how people are. I'm getting to the point now where I'm known pretty well. And that same lady that's got the wedding dress shop in Coventry, she let me have about 20 dresses the year before last, and now she rang me a week or so ago and said, I've got loads more that were samples, you know, would you like them? So I will go to Coventry, I'll pick those up, I'll wash the dresses, press them, and then I'll post them out to one of my 5 seamstresses. And I've got a couple in Scotland, and I've got one that's Kanakway. I've got one in Warsaw, and they have got patterns that are for children 12 weeks and under, then 12 to 18 weeks, 18 to 24, 24 to 30 weeks, and then 30 to 40 weeks. And they make whatever I want. You know, if I need more adult, more older baby stuff, they'll make those for me. If I need little papoose for the under 16 weekers, because you can't dress, obviously, the smaller they are, you can't dress them. So we've got little papoose, and we've also got these little satin pockets that the fetus or the little one slides into rather than your dress. Then I've got an army of ladies that make blankets for me, all different colours, you know, from the palest of colours and your pinks and your blues to your more vibrant for, you know, other people that like more vibrant colours, obviously your yellows and your bright oranges. So I think I've got in stock pretty much everything and anything that anybody would ever need. And if you needed anything else, then I'm sure that we would be able to make that for you.
And you do all this for free, don't you?
You know, I do. I've done it for free for 8 years now. I don't take a penny for anything that I do. But as from last year, people send me stamps. And that has helped me immensely because I was paying all the postages myself. I post out globally. You know, it can be anywhere and I parcel them up. Obviously, I have to, you know, get the materials for posting and I have to, you know, package everything up, take it to the post office. I use my petrol, obviously, when I take out the cuddle cot or to conduct the funeral or when I go and see the family. Yeah, I don't charge anything for anything that I do, which brings up something else really, and that is, should civil celebrants charge, you know, something to take a child's funeral? Now, if you're only taking three or four a year or maybe one a year, then yeah, sure. You know, you don't need to take anything. It depends to the degree that you're going to do it. But what you as civil celebrants must know is that funeral directors can charge, you know, for their services. Whether they choose to is their call, isn't it? That's their call. But the government have paid now for a considerable time for children's funerals. So I personally think you should at least be asking for expenses. Okay, take the funeral for free by all means, but cover your petrol, cover your folder. You know, I sprinkle little feathers, I blow bubbles, I you know, throw glitter. I pay for all of those things myself. But Dan facilitated my being able to do that. You know, you civil celebrants, some of you may not be in the position to spend, you know, several hours on a funeral for a child because quite often you've turned down an adult funeral in order to do it, or an adult funeral comes in and you think, oh, that's, you know, a fee that's gone there. Having said that, I find it nothing but satisfying, wonderful and beautiful. And I've thoroughly enjoyed what I do for 8 years now. I absolutely adore it. It's not for everyone. You know, often I'll sit with a family that have lost a child. They may have lost a 7-year-old. And on occasions, you know, it does get to me. I sat with a little 7-year-old a few months ago and he'd been hit by a car and his face was perfect. His face was totally untouched. And I sat with the parents while this little one was in his blue lined coffin. And he'd got the most gorgeous blonde hair and a beautiful rosebud lips. And my grandson was the same age. And I found myself biting my bottom lip, thinking, oh gosh. obviously I didn't cry at the time, but I went back to my car and I had a real good cry. And it's okay for you civil celebrants to do that. And it's important to do that. I'm a qualified counsellor.
Yeah.
I was a Samaritan for 4 years.
Yeah.
I've heard it all. And holding stuff in, it's not a good thing. Always share. And I've mentored a lot of our members.
Yeah.
An awful lot. I do that for free. If any of you civil celebrants there need any help, any material, any clothes, anything, then please pick up the phone and I will guide you step by step, so that you have got the confidence to take a funeral for a child. It's not difficult. It's not as hard as you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that is a real worry, a real concern, you know, initially, is am I going to be able to take this funeral?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes, you can. You absolutely can, because there's not really any difference apart from the coffin's smaller. The emotions are still the same.
Yeah.
You know, often there's no history. You know, if you're conducting for an older child, you know, that's one or two, you know, they may have liked certain things, like, you know, Noddy or Peter Rabbit, and you can focus on those kind of things. And when I did a funeral for a little four-year-old and who was bonkers on Peter Rabbit, instead of sprinkling feathers, I sprinkled little cotton balls,
yeah,
you know, the tiny little crafting pom-poms,
yeah, like cotton ball tails, yeah.
Yeah, I sprinkled those instead of. And you know, you've got to think outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, don't think that you've got to stick to prayers. You know, you can recite bits from books, like you can have any music that you want from Disney, or you know, from the charts. If there's no history, you can maybe focus on the parents a little bit more, how they met, what the pregnancy was like, did the mom have any cravings, that kind of thing. And I always do a naming every single time, because that is probably the only time that you will ever hear formally
that child's
name. And that is so important, that you give that child a name and that you sign off at the end of the funeral by saying that name in full, you know.
Yeah. So you've told us how you help us as celebrants. How do we as celebrants help you?
Getting the word out there, really. Taking the funerals. I spend so much time on what I do. My phone can go at 10 o'clock at night. I may be on that phone for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I can be out somewhere and my phone's ringing. The more people that I can train, the more people that there is out there to help.
Mm.
So that is what I would say to you there. It's so important that please take these funerals for little ones. Mm. Don't be scared to take these funerals for little ones, because you can do it. You can do it. Even if you just take a few a year,
mm.
then that's going to make a huge, huge difference, you know. So yeah, take the funerals, find out who's got the contract for the little ones. The funeral directors every year put in a tender for the contract. In Warsaw, it's Warsaw Co-op, which is Hatherton Street. So any children that are born locally in hospital, in one of the hospitals, they have the contract for that little one. And find out who the contract's with. Ask, if you need me to take a funeral, I'm available. I'll try and do so many per year. But the truth is, because there's not any money forthcoming, people are reluctant to take any more than a couple of year, and you can't blame them, can you?
When if that's their only livelihood, right. So you mentioned people send you stamps. Do you have kind of like a central collection point for these? Is this via
No,
people paying?
they post them to me, or they come via the funeral director. So if they would like to post me a couple of stamps, and it doesn't have to be a huge amount, it just has to be, one or two, because it all helps me. I probably put seven or eight on a parcel. Then they can inbox me. You can find all my details, on Google. My phone number's there, on all of my links, my phone number's there. They can text me, phone me, or just messenger, whatever's easiest, and I will let them have my address where that they can post those.
Do you have a franking option, where you've got that automatically?
I don't know. I don't, Michelle.
I'm just wondering that whether that might be an option for like some fundraising to give you that facility.
And this is something I'm looking into at the moment. One of our members, Gwyn, said, Gwyn Davies said, why don't you think about for GoFundMe?
Creating a charity.
And I thought, yeah, that might be the way to go.
I know you do it with love, and I know you do, you do it from your heart, but it's becoming almost a little business within its own right, isn't it? And
It's all consuming,
I think I think, any help that you personally can get towards continuing this can only be of benefit to you and all the families that you serve. So,
I've lost count. I really have. I last August won the out of 10,000 people, the BBC Make a Difference Award. I got into the last four. I was absolutely elated. I couldn't believe that I'd got into the last four. And then on the night, took that prestigious award. I just couldn't believe that I was thought so much of, to be honest. But what I do is, it's really unusual. I don't know anyone else that does what I do to the degree that I do it, really. In a little while, when we've finished our chat, I have to go and make some drop-offs to funeral directors. If anyone knows of a child that needs any clothes, please contact me and I'll send them to you. I've got all sizes, all colours, so please just ask me if you need anything. I've posted out loads to our members over the years. And then I generally get a thank you note from the funeral di from the family via the funeral director, or on occasions the funeral director asks, is it okay if I give your address? And they might send me stamps, or a card or something, and that's just absolutely wonderful, to me.
But I mean, like I say, it is a very specialist area, and it's hats off to you and everybody else that works within, this specialism within the funeral industry. So if somebody wanted to get hold of you, where would they go to find you?
Well, if you Google me, I think I'll take up a fair a fair bit of space on the first few pages. If they just type in Sharon Weaver Celebrant, you can find me on my TikTok. You can find my Facebook page, my Instagram, although I don't use Instagram very much. I have to be really careful, obviously, what I put online. It's it's really difficult. You have to be mindful that of what you're putting on. I don't really put on, you know, pictures of services or little coffins or, you know, or anything like that that can be traced back to a family. So you have to be really careful. If anyone is going to take a funeral over for a child over the next week or two, please ring me if you need any support at all. I'll guide you from start to finish. I'll guide you from meeting the family, you know, taking the call from the funeral director, meeting the family, what to say, what not to say, how to organise the funeral, you know, and from seeing the funeral cortege coming down the creme through the creme gates and where to stand and what to do. And, you know, for instance, I think it's really important for the mother, if she's able to have the coffin on her lap during the service, up until I do the naming. And my reasoning for that is probably the last time that mum or dad can be that close to that little coffin. So I don't have any kind of, you know, need to sit in that seat. If the mum wants to get up, and I always say this to them, if you want to get up and stand with your child or touch your child's coffin during the service, please do that. I'll know what you're doing. Don't worry about it. Get up out of your chair. Go over to the coffin and be with your child. That's absolutely fine. Sometimes I put the chairs around the catafalque. If it's a small turnout, you know, if there's only going to be between 5 and 10 people, I might conduct the whole service around the coffin rather than have the regimented, you know, sit in the seat approach. So there's lots that you can do to make things easier. There's lots that you can do to so that the parents can cope. And those little things like having the chairs, you know, around the coffin with maybe mum and dad and the grandparents and the close family, that's just so important to do that. Having the coffin, you know, on your lap, on mum's lap or dad's lap or half and half, you know, these are questions that I always ask. Would you like to do that? Would they like to carry the coffin in together? And I always really encourage that, because that is the last thing that them as parents can do for that little one. So there's lots that you can do.
Okay, so Sharon, if we have a young family that are really struggling, or any family to be fair, that are really struggling with finances and they want to hold a funeral for their child, how can they go about doing that? And is there anything that we can do as celebrants?
Yeah, well, no family should have to put their hand in the pocket for a child's funeral. The government pay for the over 24 weekers. The hospital then generally pick up, if the child was born in hospital, they pick up from 16 weeks up to the 24 weeks. The only void is the under 16 weeks, Michelle, but the Child Funeral Charity, they're really good. Anne Barber from Civil Ceremonies, she runs that charity. She's a good friend of mine. And you, as a civil celebrant, if you click on the Child Funeral Charity page, there's a little button that you can click on and it says refer. You can print that off and refer to the Child Funeral Charity for anyone that needs a funeral for a child under 16 weeks. and that he's struggling financially.
That's good to know that there is that help out there for anybody that needs that as well. Brilliant. Okay, thank you. So, call to action for celebrants and funeral directors. If you need any help in how you deal with parents who are bereaved, or how to work at conducting the funeral, obviously get in touch with Sharon. All her details will be on the link, but you can obviously contact her via her website, which is sharonweavercelebrant.co.uk, or via her Facebook page, which is Twinkle Baby and Child Loss Support and Resource on Facebook as well. And then to any parents out there who face, you know, the horror of losing a child young, again, you can go via the Twinkle Baby and Children's Child Loss Support and Resource page on Facebook. And Sharon is there with her army of wonderful seamstresses to help guide and provide and hopefully ease some of that pain of your loss. It's the worst thing that can happen to anybody to lose a child at whatever gestational age that child may be or whatever age that child has lived to. But with angels, and that's the only way we can describe people like Sharon, with angels out there that help with words of wisdom, words of advice, and any level of support, use them. They're there to help. They're there to guide. They're there to support. And Sharon is one of the ones who is completely at the top of her game when it comes to helping you and helping us. So please, you know, use her. She is a valuable, valuable resource. And also please help her, because I say she is a valuable resource and she is somebody that we definitely need to make sure can continue to help everybody else. And if that's us putting our hands in our pockets to provide her with stamps or anything else that she needs, you know, celebrants, funeral directors and anybody else that works in the funeral industry, let's help her. Let's help people like her. And keep the help that she's providing to parents available to parents. Sharon, thank you so much for joining us. It's been really interesting to hear about the work that you do and just the passion with which you do it. You know, it's very, very inspiring. So is there any last words that of wisdom that you have for us?
Not words of wisdom, but please contact me. Any of you that need any help at all, whether it be as a civil celebrant taking your first funeral for a child, or if you're a parent or a funeral director that needs any help, please pick up the phone.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for joining me today, Sharon. To everybody else, take care.